Hey, good afternoon. This is Barbara Mason. I represent the Boeing Company on the Orange County Workforce Development Board, and I chair the One-Stop Committee. Opening up the meeting today here on November 10th. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Would anyone, with Veterans Day tomorrow, do we have any veterans or anyone that would like to lead the pledge? Okay, if not, I'll lead it. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, how about a member roll call?
Rob Claudio. Steve Curiel.
Here.
Mike Daniel. Chris Horton.
Present.
Barbara Mason.
Present.
Gary Mackin. Carlos Aragon.
Present.
Michael Ruin. Brinyell Tumor Bias. And we do not have quorum yet, Chair.
Okay, so how many more do we need for quorum?
Just one more.
One more? Okay. Well, then what we'll do is we'll go to public comment, and then we'll go into the information items, and then monitor. And if we get the quorum, we'll come back to the action items, hoping we do. So at this time, if there are any members of the public that would like to address the Workforce Board's One-Stop Committee on subjects contained in this agenda only, they are welcome to raise their hand to indicate that they would like to speak for 3 minutes max.
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. If there are members of the public that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, the action items look important. I do hope we get quorum and are able to circle back. If not, we'll have to take them, I guess, directly to the board, but that ties up time at the board. So it really would be optimum to get through these in our committee. So with that, we'll go to information items number eight, program performance. And this where I think as a committee, we've worked hard. We can find that we can very, very quickly get bogged down in the program performance section and spend 45 minutes or an hour and then not get to the rest of the items on the agenda. So it's finding the right balance of getting in there and getting through the detail and understanding it, but not letting it sort of dominate the whole 2 hours that we've got allocated. So with that, Francis, would you like to turn that over to your team to talk about program performance?
Yes, please, Desiree. Can you go ahead and promote Rick to talk about the one-stop operator, and then we'll need Sid Lodge for career team. Anthony for the career grant, and much probably Wendy for the, because I don't believe Eric's in attendance. And can we bring up on the screen? Looks like page 58. Okay, Rick, can you give us a quick overview, please, of America Works performance through quarter one?
Yes, absolutely. Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Solis, new administrative manager with the WED department and supporting the operations with the One Stop Center. So this, I'll review their quarter one performance. As you can see, their expended direct program costs $66,747.27. Administrative costs with under the 10% cap at $6,674.73. So the direct obvious point here to address is just the lower expenditure costs on the program costs. I wanted to note the asterisk on the bottom of the graph, just signaling that the August and September invoices haven't been included in this in the graph, in the chart. And so we're pending roughly $199,000 or $517.51. So so year-to-date expenditures would be closer to the historical expenditure track of America Works at this point. So we are on track. So I wanted to just, you know, highlight that as to not to cause alarm as to why it's lower for the Q1 as what's being presented. Let's see. And then obviously, please stop me if there's any additional questions. So I'll just move forward to make this be succinct. So on the performance category, we have the metrics for first-time visitors, virtual trainings, on-site training, and ACT work keys. There is a decent amount of traffic this first quarter of the program year, especially going to post-pandemic time with, you know, the community society opening up more. So we're definitely seeing a healthy amount of first-time visitors. The virtual trainings are still, you know, given the pandemic aftermath and the fact that we're still, you know, working with the challenge, there still is a fair amount of virtual training still being accessed. And this is from America Works, the provider, providing those, the center services virtually. The on-site training, though, is 145 participants receiving on-site training. So this is, you know, showing that there has been much more activity this quarter and beginning of this program year with folks being able to come into the site and, as you know, representative of the center being more, or just the community opening up most post-pandemic. So there's actually a little bit more folks on-site doing on-site training this time. The ACT work keys is obviously showing a zero. This is a point of that is addressed within the context of the Hallmark of Excellence. This is a service to support folks getting certified to improve their marketability to employers with things related to that they can put on their resume and skill development that relates to getting more employable. This is identified or will be identified as more of a outreach strategy, just to make sure that our service providers and, of course, our operator team is presenting the availability of this option to our clients. So with that, you know, alongside a few other points of improvement within the Hallmarks as far as recruitment and outreach for services, we do expect to see definitely a number and a bump up in the ACT work keys completion in the next quarters to come. But as it stands right now, there's a good healthy amount of traffic and trainings that are being conducted within the site virtually and on site. So those are the main points. So there's not any questions, then we can move forward. But if there's any questions, please do ask.
Thank you for the clarification on the invoices. And I guess one question in general, as we're looking at performances, are we preparing for, if you see the news, there are companies starting to lay off with a, you know, expected increase in flow and need for services? Are we starting to look at that and prepare for that?
Yeah, I think this is something we're definitely preparing for in general. The operator obviously being more versed as, you know, each new additional contract year starts. So the manager, Brandon Casper, will review, there's quite a bit of points of improvement within the continuous improvement plan and the Hallmark that is addressing just the service delivery model, the communication amongst the co-located partners and the mandated partners overall, and the accessibility of the virtual and on-site trainings, you know, some of the more detailed services such as tape tests, reviews, resume prep, et cetera. So there's definitely the work with the operator and the service providers to handle just the influx of flow. I mean, I think we're just generally preparing for that, given that we're in closer to the post-pandemic phase right now in general. And so, yeah, this it's incorporated within this the general points of improvement on the Hallmark, and just, you know, improving services from the past year's performance and even the previous quarters. So to answer your question, yes, there is anticipation of increased flow and adjustment to just key services and procedures within the Hallmark to account for this and be able to better prepare for it.
And Barbara, if I could just add a couple points too. Mm-hmm. Looking to amend the current staffing of America Works to increase their staffing to provide better coverage. We also have the South County location. We're anticipating it's opening in quarter one of 2023. And then you'll hear from Anthony in a little bit. We've got the Career National Dislocated Worker Grant, which is specific to dislocated workers in Orange County and how we're looking to service those, because we are anticipating their projection probably a 5% unemployment rate in Orange County, which a significant raise over where we are currently.
It is. So thank you that we're preparing. Good.
Great.
Desiree, can we go on to the one-stop mobile unit? Quick overview. Probably the second page where it shows the metrics.
Just up one,
where it says client served through the mobile unit in quarter one. Up one more page. And then Rick, can you go over this real quick and then we'll move on to the log?
Certainly. So this is straightforward, self-explanatory of the client served by our mobile unit. 176 walk-ins, 384 WIO universal services provided, 183 clients total. So most requested services, as you see, general information, resume assistance, career guidance, job search, community resources. The mobile unit is definitely a strong resource, and it's booked out a few months ahead of time. So it's definitely providing a much needed service for folks who don't have the means necessarily to get into the main comprehensive center, or just for other reasons for accessibility. So the site, it covers the service indicator. So in the mobile unit has definitely been effective resource. And so, you know, we do project this probably growing as well, especially to kind of reach more of the harder to serve and folks that don't have the same accessibility. And we will also be planning as well, once we are expanding to the South County Braille locations, to ensure, you know, that this is a resource that's still available and promoted, especially in a transition phase, if for whatever reason it's needed more so. But as to date, this is the amount the clients serve. So that was a short slide.
Thank you.
No questions about the one-stop center and the services through that. We can move on to our career services.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I will be reporting about our adult and dislocated worker program. We do have a new service provider who started effective July 1st. Our new service provider is Career Team, and they have been awarded a $3.5 million budget for our adult and dislocated worker programs, separated into four different programs: Adult North, Adult South, Dislocated Worker North, Dislocated Worker South, similar to previous years. You will notice in the expense categories for all programs that there were gonna be no expenditure reports. This is because it is a new service provider, so it took some time to get their budget approved and get it all settled and to get it to where we needed it to be as a workforce board here in Orange County. Since the budget has been approved, we have received invoices for July, August, and September. There have been some back and forth to make sure that what we are receiving is both in good order and to our expectations. So we're working with Career Team on getting all of those invoices approved. So far, July has been reviewed and has been submitted for final approval. I'm in the process of reviewing August and September right now. So I think by next month, everything should be good and in good order. It was just a matter of those growing pains at the beginning of the quarter and setting those expectations so that moving forward, things run smoothly. And career team, accounting staff, and fiscal staff know exactly what they need to submit to us in order for us to be able to approve. So that's why you will see zeros all across the lines. In regards to performance, we had 55 new enrollments in quarter one for our Adult North program. There were 95 cases that were carried in, meaning that these were active clients in last program year and are currently still active this year. Of those 55 enrollments, 51 were within our target population, meaning that they had more than one barrier to employment. So they were low income, they were homeless, they were on housing, the variety of different barriers. We had 7 individuals attain a degree or certificate, 2 measurable skills gains. We had 39 retain employment with the same employer, and we have 35 program exits. We're also working together with the VEEP program, our veteran program, as well as our OC Core program for co-enrollment purposes so that we can support our VEEP participants and dislocated workers and make sure that we provide the best services possible through both programs. So we had 4 co-enrollments in the month in quarter one. As far as providing services after enrollment, career team has been really good at being able to engage participants as they're enrolling. And all of our participants who enrolled in quarter one have participated in a class or workshop or training within the first week of being enrolled in our program. In quarter one, there were 6 new ITAs or 6 new participants who enrolled in occupational skills training. And I will run through this really quickly. And at the end, if you guys have questions, I'll go ahead and be more than happy to answer. So Desiree Wood, let's go to page 64. This is our Adult South performance report. For new enrollments, we had 10 new enrollments in Adult South program. 21 were carry-ins, 14 were within our target population. We had 6 employment placements. We had 2 attained degrees or certificates, 2 measurable skills gains, 19 retained employment with the same employer, 1 co-enrollment, and 22 program exits. And like with our Adult North program, all 10 new enrollments were engaged in an activity within their first week of being enrolled in the program. We also had 1 participant in Adult South begin a work experience program with our 211 OC partner employer. And then we'll move on to Dislocated Worker North on page 65. For Dislocated Worker North, we had 12 new enrollments. 43 were carried forward from last program year, 33 employment placements, 6 attained degrees or certificates, 3 measurable skills gains, 41 retained employment with the same employer, 2 co-enrollments, and 9 program exits. And again, all 12 of our new enrollments were engaged into a program or activity within their first week of being enrolled. We had 1 participant enroll in ITA and 1 complete an OJT. And then we have Dislocated Worker South. Dislocated Worker South, we had 3 new enrollments. 23 carry forwards, 12 employment placements, 2 attained degrees or certificates, 3 measurable skills gains, 33 retained employment, 6 program exits, and all 3 were engaged in an activity within the first week of being enrolled in our program. Any questions on these performance metrics? I know I went really quickly.
Yeah, I have a question on the Dislocated Workers North, page 65. There were under program activities, the performance category, the attainment of degree and certificates, the contracted goal is 338 and there were 6 in Q1 of this year, which shows it's 2%. how are or what are we going to do to try to attain? Because that's a huge number we must get through over the next three quarters.
Yes. So we do have career teams. So feel free. Career team can be provide more insight, but I do know career team has or our service provider does have training coordinators who are assigned to their respective caseloads. And those training coordinators, their purpose is to follow up with those individuals who are in training to ensure that one, they are progressing, right? Because we want them to complete this training successfully so that then we can get the certifications, we can get these degree attainments. So their training coordinators are great and they're very engaging and they're very active with their participants. So that's one of their strategies of making sure that their training coordinators are not only communicating with those individuals who are in training, but also with the training providers and making sure that they make any supportive service available, whether it be tutoring, whether it just be more checking in, whatever it is, to make sure that people are completing their training successfully. So that's one of the things. Also, another thing is, we can only attain degrees if we enroll people in training. So making sure that we're really good at offering these opportunities when they're appropriate. And they are aware that these are, we have to spend 30% of our money in training. That's one of the requirements of WIOA. So making sure that we keep an eye on all of these training funds and that we are very vigilant and very purposeful with how we utilize these funds. Making sure that we spend down these funds because in the past we haven't. So that's one of the goals of making sure that we keep these, that we utilize these funds appropriately and we provide the support so that we can get those individuals to complete their training programs and complete them successfully.
Perfect. And that was my next question about making sure we're finding the people to bring them in so that we can reach that 338 goal.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure that with this new influx of dislocated workers, working with the dislocated worker with the OC Corps program, and just working also with our adult population, we're hopeful that we will be able to offer these services to more individuals, so that we can get those degrees and get those certifications and be able to meet those performance goals.
Perfect. Thank you.
Of course. Any other questions?
Yes, I've got a question, Steve, here. Similar line of questioning, and that is, you mentioned in the past we hadn't reached those targets. And I remember I was in a meeting, I don't know, a few years ago, same issue, as it was difficult reaching those targets. Do you recall, is that a pattern that every year that it's a struggle to reach those targets? Have we ever reached the targets? When's the last time we did?
I would have to get back to you on the historical figures because I can give you information based off of when I started here 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, it happened to be COVID and a lot of these schools were, shut down and we couldn't offer trainings because there were no trainings to offer, unfortunately. So a lot of these metrics that you see right now and a lot of these numbers are low because of that reason. And I want to stop using the COVID excuse because I feel like we're all over the COVID excuse. That really, when you see a lot of these numbers being low, it's because we're still feeling those effects of a lot of people didn't enroll in training. Some of those trainings can be up to 2 years. So we wouldn't necessarily see results of them completing or receiving certifications for a while. So if nobody was enrolling in training, that's the reason for numbers being low. Moving forward, however, schools are back up, trainings are back up and running, and we should expect these numbers to increase increase from our past 2 year numbers. Gotcha. But I can get you numbers as far as like previous years, like pre-COVID. I would just have to find them. I can definitely get that information.
And that'd be great. But I don't want to take up time because I know that was said earlier, this could be a way down a rabbit hole, but if I wanted to meet with someone just to understand each of these, how they play, how they're connected, like the new enrollments, is that tie into, are all the numbers underneath tied to new enrollments? So just getting some definitions in my own thinking, so I understand the report better. If I wanted to reach out to you, Zitliak, I'm sorry.
How do you- C- Siglali. So I know. Siglali.
Would I be, I just follow up with you to get a little more detail and spend more time on this?
Yeah, that's totally fine. I'm more than happy to go through each one of these performance metrics and help you understand how we come up with these numbers. WIOA is a complicated program, and a lot of the times the data is also complicated to understand. So I'd be more than happy to be able to meet you and explain that information.
Great.
I would like to be a part of that as well.
Okay.
Sounds good. I can reach out to you all and maybe we can schedule something so that we can look, and I can show you how I pull the reports and all of that good stuff. I don't know if that's too much information already, but you know, whatever you need, I can provide.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
This is Barbara. Steve and others, I didn't mean to quell questioning by any means. These are good questions. It's a healthy debate. We just, as a committee in the past, have really gotten deep into it. And then all of a sudden, it's like 2 hours later. But please do ask questions.
I totally agree. I would not want to spend this precious. I can only actually be on till 2. My boss is going to come in a few minutes for another thing. But I agree. And I appreciate that, though.
So sure, we have a quorum now. I'm sorry to interrupt. We do have a quorum. And if we're going to be having people sign off, then I don't know if you want to move on.
Maybe we should go back. I just had a real quick question before we, and I think we should go back to the action items, is as we're mentioning placements, it would be very helpful to know, and we've discussed this before, are the placements into those strategic industries we've identified growth for? IT, so, healthcare, we're just saying placements. Can we, going forward, calibrate or put in context, what kind of placements are we talking about?
Absolutely. So these employment placements are based off of CalJobs data, which would be those people who were placed in employment and retained their employment for 2 quarters. What I've been doing in the past few quarter reports is that I'm providing you real-time data in my real-time employment placement report. So Desiree, I know we need to go back, but if you can go to page 67.
I feel like, yes, here we go. I feel like we have gotten the summary in the past that kind of indicated, because Karma, I think as a board overall, we talk about these strategic growth areas, but I think we need to really focus more, because if you don't measure it, you don't focus on it, it's not going to happen. We're not going to get people in those areas. And that's really where we're seeing the longer term growth.
Yeah, so these reports that I'm providing you, the employment placement reports, are real time. So these are people that were exited or were closed with employment in this quarter, whether or not they've retained, and you know, later we'll find out in the retainment numbers, but this is real time in from July through September, these people were able to get employment in these areas. So the first
page 67, right?
Yes,
page 67. On page 67. Okay, I'll go back and look at it.
Yeah, you'll be able to see the actual jobs that were that individuals were placed into. And then the second page of that report, which would be page 68, you will have information and a graphic, you know, with the graph, and you will also see how many were in those identified industry sectors.
Oh, okay, perfect, perfect. That's what I was looking for, perfect. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. You'll find one for the adult program and you'll find one for the dislocated worker program. So there's
I'll go back and give it a deeper read. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I agree with time constraints. I think we should go back to the action items so we could get through those before we lose people. So the first one, number 5, Orange County America Jobs, comprehensive affiliate, specialized certification, one-stop operator improvement plan. Francis, could someone talk to us about
from
that.
America Works, we've got Brandon from America Works, who's going to present their hallmark of excellence improvement plan. I know they spent considerable time since the last meeting in amending their responses. So we'd definitely like your feedback, see if this is good to advance.
Okay, thank you.
Brandon, the floor is yours.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to speak today. Barbara, Chris, Francis, Rick, everybody, thank you so much for allowing time. There's quite a few points here, indicators for this. So I'm going to try to go as quickly as I can. I know this drags on for quite a bit, but bear with me. So I will be giving the improvement opportunities followed by the plans that we have submitted to everybody. for the first part in the Garden Grove section, the indicator one, the AJCC ensures universal access with an emphasis on individuals with barriers to employment. The opportunities that were presented to us were, although the AJCC is located in an area that is accessible to customers near freeways and public transportation, there is limited signage outside of the building, which makes it difficult to identify the facility as an AJCC. Outreach needs to be improved. Second point was it was unknown whether the local equal opportunity officer periodically reviews the AJCC's policies, procedures, and facility for accessibility and equal opportunity, and then provides recommendations and staff training where needed. We will work with our local EEO to ensure that this takes place and development schedule for training if necessary. And the last point was, although staff provide good customer service and have participated in county assigned training, the AJCC staff need to be trained on the principles of universal and customer centered design. Additional training has been recommended for operator and staff, including conflict resolution and emotional intelligence. Our responses to these were as follows. The county has acquired new signage that displays the OC Workforce Solutions logo and name for the public view on the building facade by the end of fall 2022. The county EO officer, Nakia Thierry, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, and reviews EO policies with the operator on an annual basis, and the operator will relay information to the one-stop staff within one quarter of receiving information from the EO officer. A sign-in sheet will be provided and shared with County of Orange representatives to verify training was completed. The operator will conduct quarterly training with the staff on customer service, conflict resolution, and universal design policies. Principles. The center will continue being open throughout the pandemic. However, the AJCC will continue to follow all COVID-19 protocols, including around-the-clock cleaning, wiping down of communal equipment, and having electrostatic spraying done throughout the building when a positive case has been reported. The AJCC will add television monitors to the lobby, waiting room to display upcoming hiring events, job listings, and information by the end of fall 2022. And the last point, the operator will review current outreach to partners and ensure a comprehensive plan to outreach offered services and programs to the local community and all partners by the end of the fourth quarter of 2022. That's the first indicator. Does anybody have any questions? Anything they would like me to elaborate on? Okay, then I will continue on to the second indicator. Second indicator was the AJCC actively supports the one-stop system through effective partnerships. The opportunities that were suggested by the County of Orange were, operator will train staff on all partners and services available within the one-stop system and not limited to each service provider's program on a less than quarterly basis. Sign-in sheet will be provided and shared with County of Orange representatives to verify training was completed. Second point, ensure that the AJCC staff and partners are effectively using the CalJobs referral process and follow-ups to ensure that services have been provided where necessary. Three, develop and ensure that flyers listing all partner services are available at the AJCC for distribution and posted around the center. Next point, improve marketing and outreach methods, especially post-pandemic, and continue to establish partnerships in the community. And last part, partners express concerns over using the survey tool SurveyMonkey. Another survey platform will be explored. The points that we brought up to ensure for improvement plan were, the operator will ensure that all partners are performing adequately on services they are providing within the one-stop system, creating a checks and balances system to keep all parties accountable to their respective responsibilities. Any issues or clarifications with individual partners will be identified and referred right away for immediate corrective actions. Next point, any issues that affect the center as a whole will be addressed at the monthly partner meeting to ensure all are made aware and able to transfer the information to their respective teams. Next point, partners continue to use the CalJobs referral process and follow-up. Spot checks on this process will be conducted by one-stop staff and results will be made available to the board on a quarterly basis when necessary. Clarification on referral processes, partnership responsibilities, and transfer of clients will be addressed and verified amongst all co-located partners. Next point, the operator will continue to distribute county-sanctioned, vetted, and issued flyer/job postings. Operator ensures that said flyers are posted in the center as well as shared with partners and available for distribution to the clientele. The resource center will be kept in an organized and up-to-date fashion with job postings properly indexed available for view, and remove when no longer applicable. Next point, the operator will create and disseminate a monthly event calendar / listing for the one-stop and provide copies to all staff who will then promote and outreach events to clients. Clients' outreach will include a recurring email at the beginning of the month with the event calendar, providing real-time information on the addition of new events, making the event calendar visible throughout the office, offering paper copies of the calendar to clients, and creating RSVPs for the events when applicable. Next point, as third party of the creation and verification of marketing methods, the operator will continue to support the county's guidance regarding marketing methods, such as the monthly event calendar described above, and by informing the county when the OC Workforce Solutions website is in need of updating. At the monthly partners meeting held on the last Tuesday of every month, the operator will dedicate time to review and troubleshoot key center services and partner collaboration logistics. That's the end of that indicator. Does anybody have any questions or anything they would like me to elaborate on?
Yeah, this is Rob. I do have a question on the very first bullet on that section.
Sure.
I think it may need some different wording, because the operator will ensure that all partners are performing adequately on services they're providing. If the operator does not know what each of the partners do specifically within their own agency, I don't think that you can provide that kind of oversight. So it may be that you refer any kind of an issue back to the particular agency, but I don't know that you can monitor adequate performance.
You are correct. That probably, yes, the phrasing was probably not done correctly on that one. I can't adjust that phrasing, so it's more clear that we are talking about specifically about when issues are arisen to us, that we can just address those, not that we will actually be participating in any kind of program modification for the partners, because that's
right. Something that says that you would refer it back to their respective agency.
Yes, I can correct that. Yes.
Okay.
Any other issues or concerns anybody would like to address before I move on? Okay. The indicator number three, the AJC provides integrated customer-centered services. Sections for opportunities for improvement were AJC staff need cross-training in partner eligibility and services and can also benefit from customer-centered design training. This training should be expected at minimum annually. And the second point is, it is obvious that COVID-19 disrupted a lot of services. As we begin to transition back to normalcy post-pandemic, AJC staff need to work on improving their outreach, including marketing, to align their service delivery with other partners. The points we made for our plan for improvements were AJC staff will continue to train in partner eligibility and services. The operator and county manager overseeing the one-stop operators will have a weekly standing meeting to discuss operations and ensure any marketing campaigns are being adequately advertised and outreached. Next point, the operator will emphasize offering client trainings focused on returning to work in a post-pandemic environment. The operator will work with partners and programs to support similar clientele populations and establish a mutual referral system / monthly outreach goals. The operator will work with partners to establish proper referral system to ensure that all clients are being aided by the partner that is best suited for their needs. And the last point, the operator will inform all partners of any changes to eligibility at the monthly partners meeting held the last Tuesday of every month. Does anybody have any questions or anything they would like to need clarified before I continue on to indicator four?
Yeah, just another, I think that the last one, operator will inform all partners on any changes. I'm assuming you also mean by that the operator will be checking with each partner when there are changes.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I can make clarification on that.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Yes. I will clarify that. Anybody, any other questions? Okay, moving on to indicator number four. The AJCC is an on-ramp for skill development and the attainment of industry-recognized credentials, which meet the needs of targeted regional sectors and pathways. The opportunities for improvement were provide staff ongoing training on regional sector career pathways to keep knowledge current. The AJC offers, I'm sorry, AJCC offers training and releases a monthly calendar. However, this needs to be better communicated and shared with all one-stop system partners and AJCCs. AJCC needs to engage with the business solutions team to identify potential OGTs beneficial for customers. It appears that the operator is disconnected from this area and is often led by service providers. And the last point was the AJCC can also benefit from developing and maintaining a resource directory of services available through other agencies and community-based organizations. The improvement plans that we provided were the operator will communicate monthly with the County Business Solutions team to become informed about the regional sector career pathways and communicate with the information to all staff and co-located partners at monthly meetings. As third party to all business solutions outreach, the operator will meet with the County Business Solutions team to discuss the OJT referral process and how the operator can best support it in an ongoing way. The operator will ensure the resource room has OJT information displayed clearly and organized weekly, as well as redirecting any business solution inquiries or contacts to appropriate channels. The operator will handle TABE testing with all staff fully trained on administering and scoring TABE tests as of 9/30/2022. Approval to cross-train all co-located partners in administering and scoring TABE tests is pending. Sign-in sheets for the training will be provided. Operator will meet with the County Business Solutions team to discuss the OJT referral process and how operator can increase support, as well as be available to assist the creation of a comprehensive business solutions plan at the county's behest. And lastly, the operator will work on developing a resource directory of services of other agencies and community-based organizations by the first quarter of 2023. Does anybody have any questions or would like anything elaborated on before I move to the next indicator? Okay. Indicator number five, the AJCC actively engages industry and labor and supports regional sector strategies through all integrated business services strategy that focuses on quality jobs. Area for improvement opportunities were ongoing training for staff on regional economy, labor market conditions, business talent supply chains, and the needs of high growth sectors and high road employers. Staff can also benefit from training on how to actively promote targeted sector opportunities and high demand occupations for all AJCC customers. Implement a defined strategy to regularly seek and capture employer advice in the design and delivery of demand-driven services for job seekers. Currently, a survey is sent out to businesses by the OCWDB, but there is no evidence that results are shared with the AJCC. Our improvement plan where the operator will inform all partners on regional economy, labor market conditions, business talent supply chains, and the needs of high growth sectors and high road employers on a no less than quarterly basis and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings completed on that. The operator will inform all staff on how to actively promote a targeted sector opportunity, high demand occupations for all JCC customers on a regular and reoccurring basis. The operator will promote targeted sector opportunities and high demand occupations for all AJCC customers with materials organized and offered within the resource room. The operator will meet monthly with the County Business Solutions team to discuss collaboration and provide any contact information from Orange County businesses that may have reached out to explore partnerships. As County Business Solutions controls contact information with Orange County businesses, the operator will make themselves available for collaborations and support on employer surveys and business partnerships. And lastly, the operator will, when contacted by Orange County businesses, will inform them of the system in place within the One Stop and will forward information to Business Solutions for them to make the assessment and see if partnership with said business is viable. Does anybody have any questions or would like anything elaborated before I move on to the next indicator? Okay, indicator number six, the AJCC has high quality, well-informed and cross-trained staffing. The areas for improvement opportunities where AJCC staff need ongoing cross-training to keep skills current and understand the services and basic eligibility for all one-stop system partner programs. AJCC staff can benefit from a robust customer-centered design training. It is recommended that AJCC staff attend the partner meetings to learn about other partner services and have a better understanding of their individual roles as part of the one-stop system. Currently, there is a pod system in place for staff at the AJCC, which may result in staff working in silos. The plans we have offered for that are the operator will take a proactive role to ensure that all co-located partners are aware of what each other co-located partner does on site and what benefits they can utilize from each other in helping the clients that they counsel. This will be achieved by having each co-located partner attend the center orientation training, confirming that all center emails and extensions are regularly updated so no information is missed, and having regular communication with each co-located partner with updates to the center. Mandatory monthly partners meetings will be enforced so that all partners are aware of the ongoing events and situations at the center. Any partners who miss meetings will receive follow-ups. A regular training schedule for professional development trainings on customer service, conflict resolution, universal and customer-centered design principles, and emotional intelligence will be developed and provided to all staff and partner staff. Opportunities for cross-training between partner staff will be developed and potentially built into monthly partners meetings. And collaboration among partners will be encouraged, and information regarding their programs will be dispensed amongst all teams. Does anybody have any questions or anything they would like me to elaborate on before I move to the final indicator?
Just Brandon, in general, when you say things like, you know, you're gonna have a monthly meeting, you're gonna make yourself available, I'm presuming you're gonna have documentation to show this was done for auditing purposes or for someone wanting to go back and see what was covered in those monthly meetings, what was shared.
Yes. Whenever
Records of all that.
I'm sorry, what was that?
There's records of all of those actions to validate that they occurred.
Yes. Whenever the monthly partnership meeting is done, I do provide a PowerPoint presentation for that. I can forward that information on to anybody that is wanting it, or I can just forward it automatically so that you guys are aware of what we are doing. But I do have a documentation of what I discuss in the meetings. I do send out meeting emails prior to those indicating to the partners that the meeting is coming up. So they are all aware that the meetings are there. So yes,
there's
the documentation.
Understand. Okay. I got it. I think we're going to lose somebody, and I just want to make sure we don't lose our quorum. Who was it that needed to leave?
I believe we lose Steve at 2:00, Barbara.
Yes.
With this hallmark too, it's basically four copies of the same response. So I think if we can get
I don't know that we need to go through and read all of it. I think we're going to lose people here.
Yeah,
that's fine. Whatever you guys would prefer. I can finish the last indicator here. And since, like Francis said, they're all pretty much all universal for the other.
Yeah, I think we've gotten the flavor of it. It's definitely improved since the prior review. There's a lot more substantive tactical plans and actions in here than we've seen in the previous version. So thank you.
Yeah, I have two items which need amending. So item number two, bullet number one, updating the language to make sure that we're referring back to the agency. If there is performance issues.
Yes.
And then item number three, make sure that we are engaging partners to see if there's any updates to their eligibility.
Perfect. Yes, I will make sure to make those alterations.
So I'm opening to the committee. Does the committee want to go through this further, or have you gotten an adequate view to determine if we want to make a motion to bring this to the board?
I don't need to look at it further.
Yeah. I just reviewed it. I'm good.
I'm good.
So thank you all. So because we got 6 minutes here. So in the interest of time, do we have the recommendation is to approve with the changes just mentioned, the slight edits and tweaks that we've identified. The is to approve and bring this to the full board for review and approval. Do we have a motion?
I have a motion
to approve. Or second, either
one. I think I heard Rob, Claudio, and who was number two?
I think it was Steve.
I could be two, I guess that's okay. Or Chris.
Okay, Steve, okay, thank you. Do you need to take a roll call vote?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Rob, Claudio?
Aye.
Steve Curiel?
Aye.
Mike Daniel? Chris Horton?
Aye.
Barbara Mason?
Aye.
Gary Mackin? Carlos Aragon?
Aye.
Mike Ruin? And bringing out tumor bias. And that is majority, Chair.
Thank you. Motion passes. Thank you. This has been a long time coming, but we will end the year, it looks like, getting this to the full board. So that's good news. We have, looks like, 5 minutes, and we've got two other action items. Francis, is it?
I'll present these items. I can get through them pretty quickly.
Okay, good, good, good.
So if we go to page 4041, so the dislocated worker grant, this is a $3 million grant we received to serve dislocated workers in Orange County. The county has a marketing outreach consultant who we've been working with the branding for the grant to make it more marketable and to get the message out there. What we are recommending is the approval of the proposed name changing to from Career Grant to the OC Careers Opportunity for Reemployment, otherwise OC Core. And then we have two logos, which we would like your a selection and approval of. So we have, if the name is approved, if we could then maybe vote on the logos.
I like the name. I think the name is good. Does anyone have a preference on the logos?
My preference would be the second one. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I can go with that.
I can go with that. Okay.
I can go with that as well.
The recommendation is to select and approve a logo, which it looks like we just did, for the OC Core for submission to the executive committee and the full board. Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Sounded like Rob?
I think it was the same to myself and Steve, maybe.
Okay.
Steve can go first and I can second.
Okay. I'll go ahead and move forward with the roll call vote.
Please do. Rob, thank you.
Rob Claudio?
Aye.
Steve Curiel?
Aye.
Mike Daniel? Chris Horton?
Aye.
Barbara Mason?
Aye.
Gary Mackin? Carlos Oregon?
Aye.
Mike Ruin and Brignell Tumor Bias. That is majority, Chair.
Thank you. Motion passes. We've got action item number 7. I think we got 3 minutes. Let's see if we can get through this one.
We can do it. So our supportive service policy, we are looking to amend our supportive service policy. There are basically two changes to the policy. Desiree, if you go to please page 52. Where it says in policies and procedures, we're looking to amend the language so it aligns with EDD's language, so we're being consistent. So we're replacing language to enable the individual to participate in career services or training activities. Just slightly changing the verbatim from the previous language. The big change, however, if we go down to page 55, what we're looking to do is increase the threshold from $3,000 for supportive services to a not to exceed lifetime $6,000. We're also adding a waiver in unique circumstances where a client may need additional supportive services. We will have a waiver which would require the executive director or deputy director to approve exceeding $6,000. We're trying to basically align it with what our region voted on. Our region decided a $6,000 cap for supportive services. So we're looking to align it with that policy for all our career services, not just our special programs.
Thank you for the context. That's helpful.
And so the recommended action is to approve to go to the executive and then full board for their approval.
I just have a question on the participant's lifetime. Can that exceed like what, 5 years, 3 years, 10 years?
It's lifetime.
So they can come back to the program 10 years later and you'll still be tracking that?
Yes, provided the, as long as we have the data, Rob, yes. So I mean, with CalJobs, we should.
Okay.
I motion to move forward to the board with the new language.
I will second that.
I'll move forward with roll call vote. Rob Claudio?
Aye.
Steve Curiel?
Aye.
Mike Daniel. Chris Horton.
Aye.
Barbara Mason.
Aye.
Gary Mackin. Carlos Oregon.
Aye.
Mike Ruin, bringing out tumor bias. That is majority chair.
Thank you. Motion passes. Thank you all for really focusing and getting through. We got through the three action items, and I think if Steve needed to drop, thank you for staying on and getting us through that. I think now we can go back to the information items and continue down the rest of the agenda. Thanks for being flexible, everybody.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Hey, Steve.
Okay, we were looking at the performance data, and we had talked about, I think she may have dropped off, but she told me pages 67 and 68, which I'm going to take a deeper look at, where we're really trying to focus more on those. And Rob, you've hit on this in the past a number of times, really wanting to not just say placements. What kind of placements are we making? Are they in those strategic growth areas? Are they full-time jobs, not just seasonal jobs, those kind of things? Okay, so Francis, is there somewhere where you want to pick this back up?
Do we want any more information from career team, the adult dislocated worker provider? That was it, Lalek, are we good to move on to the
veteran? I think we're good to move on.
Okay, so veteran assistance, that's going to start on page 71. And so this is going to be quarter six numbers for the veteran assistance program. It runs through March of 2023. And if you go down, please, to page 72. And I'm presenting on behalf of Eric Ensley, who's out. He had jury duty,
yeah. Week,
so unfortunately he's not here. Mm-hmm. So new enrollments for the quarter, we've got 22 new enrollments, which brings them up to 137, or 82% on their annual, which at the three-quarter mark, that puts them ahead of the 75% where they would want to be if they were exactly even with the, you know, the grants totals. As far as soft skill training, entering occupational skills training, there are zero new entries there. Work-based learning, we had one new one. Attained certificate, two new ones. Entering into unsubsidized employment, six new ones. I think this is probably the best stat of them all. The medium hourly wage is $29.83, which is not only above the little livable wage, but also well above what the grant proposal was. So I think that's a great metric there. One thing they are encountering when you look at like the skills trainings, occupational skills trainings, a lot of the veterans are wanting to be placed immediately. They're not looking to add additional trainings or certificates. They're wanting assistance in finding work. And so that's why those numbers are so low, and while we likely will not hit them for the grant. But I think the overall enrollment and placement numbers are going to be high, as well as the medium earnings. So I think the program's doing what the intent is. We're just not getting a lot of participation with the additional trainings and certificate programs.
Good. This is always a strong report, the veteran one.
Yeah, and then if we scroll down to page 75, you can see the expenditures to date. So total expenditures to date, we're at $347,520, which is about 90%. So we're a little bit ahead of pace right there. We can use some leverage funding to basically pay some salaries here. So we can we will fully expend the grant, but we will continue serving, you know, providing the services through regular WIOA programs, providing support to our veterans. So we're looking pretty good there. And you can kind of see like the actual match funds to date is low. So we're gonna make up some there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of scrolling down, we've got a couple of veteran events on page 77. There was the stand down for veterans experiencing homelessness, which we participated in. There was the, on page 78, there was the Orange County Veterans Health and Wellness, Enhancing Veteran Care Through Emerging Strategies and Treatments event.
Very nice.
And that was a very high level summary of the beat performance for that quarter six. Are there any questions?
I do have questions, Francis. In regards to co-enrollment with the EDD-JVSG program, that's one of the requirements for obtaining the funding. Do you have any numbers with regards to co-enrollments or percentage of co-enrollments?
Rob, I don't right now, but I'm making a note of it and we'll get that information up to you.
Yeah, because I think it going forward, if you could report that ongoing, that would be great, because this particular grant comes from EDD. And one of the things that we have to do is write a letter of support identifying that we are in agreement with the entity that's applying for the funds. And so we do focus on the co-enrollment piece so that we could look at the success of the customer going through both the LEAP and JVSG program.
I've got it written down, but Rob, we'll include that in the next meeting.
Good.
Thank you.
The next program is the career grant. So Anthony Rafiq is our program manager overseeing this program. And he's going to give you a little bit of an overview of the program, because while it's not a new grant, we've had it for a little while. Program services just launched. So he's going to give you a little bit of an overview just to introduce the program. And then I'll talk about the performance today.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm not sure. Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. All right. Today, I'm talking about our Orange County Careers Career Opportunities for Reemployment Program. We launched our program in September. The grant was awarded on the 24th of September, 2021. And we started our work on September 12th, 2022. It's a grant for $4.5 million. Is it possible that I can share my screen, Desiree? Please. Thank you. Maybe. And our overarching objective for this grant is to provide intensive workforce services to at least 600 dislocated workers in Orange County to prepare them for reemployment. To execute this grant, we have three buckets of work. The first component is to provide direct services, providing intensive case management. The second component is outreach, and the goal is to reach those disinvested communities. And the third component is technology, really trying to implement a virtual learning management system. So the project team, right now we have four individuals on the ground. We started on September 12th. Any changes to the program must be approved by the Department of Labor through the Director of Workforce Development. What is the work that we're expecting to do? Under component one, we're expected to serve 600 dislocated workers. We're expected to provide supportive services of $6,000 per person, or up to $6,000. Regional collaboration with City of Santa Ana, City of Anaheim. We're working with talent acquisition agencies, trying to get placements, and then providing on-the-job training opportunities. Second component of our work is connecting with people from disinvested communities. We have 11 communities which were identified in our regional plans, and they include areas like Fullerton, Anaheim, Santa Ana, Lake Forest, and a couple more. So the program is exploring multiple outreach activities to reach these communities. And we are looking at print, radio, digital media. One strategy that we're currently using is effectively collaborating with our rapid response unit, where we're educating dislocated workers about our workforce system and the benefits of coming into our program. The third piece of our work is the virtual learning management system with Future Fit AI. This technology is going to allow us to meet hundreds of thousands of people in the workforce, and the goal is to meet them where they're at. Our program budget, 77% of our program budget is directed to the program work, and that includes the LMS, outreach, and case management. And what you will see here is that we have at least $2 million that is budgeted for providing direct services. What we're seeing is, through our work right now, we have 74 individuals enrolled in our program, and we engage with 117 of these dislocated workers at 6 rapid response sessions. And what we're seeing right now is that we have a high pool of dislocated workers who have degrees. They have professional careers anywhere between 5 and 20 years of work experience with the same company. And the average person coming to our program is around 48 years old. The reason I say this is because the budget is catered for individuals, for this group of individuals, and they're coming from industries like the mortgage market, aerospace manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, and tech. And they're pivoting their careers to medical coding and billing, healthcare, project management, cybersecurity. So that's why we have such a high portion in training ITAs, as well as in supportive services. These are people who need that support. Timeline for implementation. The program unit, we're forecasting to enroll at least 150 dislocated workers every quarter. That's gonna, so that we can reach our target to the end of September, 2023. We anticipate that the LMS will go live by the end of May, 2023. And then all of our outreach material, now with, once the board has approved our branding material, we can have all our materials available by the end of, or January, early December. We can start putting our materials out in public. Risk, our highest risk at this point is achieving our goals. Program goals of serving 600 dislocated workers, because we have, we're working with a tight team as well as many procurement challenges, but I can assure you, we have a passionate team on the ground. We've already enrolled 74 individuals, which shows their commitment to executing this program work. And we're still planning all components of our program as we go through. So we should be able to move past these challenges. Key stakeholders, we have been working rapidly with our AJCC partners. We've collaborated with the front, with our one-stop operator, career teams, provider, and our regional partners to execute our program. And these are all touch points for getting participants to our OC Corp program. So where we are currently, as of the end of, as the end of October, we had 64 participants enrolled, and we're providing services to them. Thank you. Do you have any questions for me at this point?
I think something which is kind of good to highlight here too is due to like some county hiring processes, we weren't able to get a team in to support this grant immediately. And Anthony and his team has been able to expedite service delivery and get this program up and running really quickly. And they're projecting right now to meet the grant requirements in basically half the time. So I think it should be recognized that they are doing a really outstanding job going from zero service delivery to being on pace with within about 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's very notable.
Awesome.
And probably having to ramp up additionally with expected layoffs coming.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some staffing challenges, which we are working through. But yes, we're. I don't think there's going to be any shortage of individuals needing support through this program moving forward. Yeah. Thank you, Anthony. I think we can move on to customer feedback surveys. And is Rick still available? Rick, can you go ahead, starting on page 89?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Francis. If you can scroll back up the, well, actually, yeah, that, oh yeah, that's, sorry. That was just the title page. So you're good. So I'll walk you through this. So this is just showing the different metrics and within our customer surveys. So 1,637 first-time visitors. As you can see, 2,854 walk-ins, 571 appointments, and 126 virtual workshops, and totaling 11,284 services. So again, kind of piggybacking on the Q1 report I went over earlier, there is a healthy amount of traffic in this first quarter as we go into post-pandemic and we start to have more folks coming on site. We can scroll to the next slide, And these are for our WIOA participant summary. We have 676 WIOA enrolled clients. That's identified by barriers, whether, you know, what challenges and what resources they're needing, whether it be public assistance, youth, basic literacy skills development, parenting, youth, homeless, offenders, etc. And so these are all the currently active first-time enrolls for the first-time WIOA enroll numbers for this quarter, for this new program year. So definitely on track, on pace with our enrollments. The next slide. So this is just summarizing the services to the WIOA clients, but I want to make note that approximately 2,114 WIOA individuals utilize 2,500 services. Now, this figure is inclusive of folks from the previous years who are previously enrolled in WIOA and receiving follow-up services. So if any of you noticed the difference in the metric from the previous slide. Just to account for that. So we can make a more visible note on here just so it's an easier reference when we present in the future. But as you can see, it's a very comprehensive services that goes under WIOA, as kind of evidenced by some of our past presentations as well from Career Awareness.
So is that like lifetime usage, or what does that represent?
Within their lifetime, okay, of folks being enrolled, yes. You can scroll to the next one. Now we're getting to the actual survey results, which, as you'll see, 4.4 stars. So how the question asked, how would you rate your overall experience with the WorkSource solution? So as you can see, we have a strong reporting, 90% towards the goal, 921 surveys distributed, and the goal for the year is 1,000 responses. So we're at 363 responses, which is about a 39% return rate, which is pretty good. So we are on pace to meet our for the one-stop operator to meet the annual goal of 1,000 responses and folks surveyed. And we get a lot of traffic throughout the year. So this is a good metric, but most importantly, it is a positive one, despite the challenges of coordinated services virtually on site. The folks that are utilizing the center are having a positive experience. If you can scroll to the next one.
Do you also, included in that, are people that came in once, registered, and then do the rest of their training and things virtually?
Yeah, included in that, in the previous.
They're included, right? It's not just focused on the people that go in the
training. Correct, more. Yeah. Yeah. If anything, we want to, we're troubleshooting to capture more of the single use types of visitors that are quick in and out, right? Some of those folks are very much dedicated on a particular task and resource they're utilizing the center. And it's, we're definitely troubleshooting to make sure that we're capturing as many of those folks who might have a quicker turn rate. The folks who are in WIOA are using services more ongoing fashion. It's definitely, we have more communication with them. It's easier to capture their feedback in a survey. But yes, we definitely get a lot of folks who do come that we haven't, that we want to definitely do better to capture. So the next slide. Yes. So would you recommend? So all these are just, getting at their experience overall. So would you recommend the one stop? And 94% yes. Apologies on the response rate. It actually is 39% as well. It was a calculation error. So it says 21%. So it actually is, in fact, this is obviously the same questions on the same survey. So 921 distributed, 363 responses. So a 39% success rate. So we're doing well to get the surveys out and to get a reasonable return rate captured. And as you can see, we've had our operator and on all of our partners and services and team part of the center are doing well to provide a good experience for those folks who are being, who do take the surveys. And this last one is 94% satisfaction overall. Responding to questions such as, do you feel welcome? Is it easy to access services? Were you provided with quality services? So, this is a key metric for any service, for any one-stop center. And so the operator and the team is doing well to make sure that there is a welcoming vibe, and we keep improving on the customer service delivery model. The next slide, and please pause me. I'm trying to go succinctly through, but just pause if there's any questions. So the training and workshops. So this is an area to definitely to strengthen, but we did have 247 surveys distributed of those who were in training. The questions are there before you. How would you rate the training experience, workshop experience, and how would you rate the quality of the teaching? It's a low response. It's 15 responses. So there's definitely an area for improvement, especially given that the operator has demonstrated an ability to be able to have a good method, a survey methodology, and support with obviously our team and the county's team to capture folks that are just the everyday patrons of the center. But when it comes to the train, those that are going to specific training, we definitely need to translate that survey methodology overall by the center into this area. And so given that we've had close to a 40% return rate on surveys overall, I'm positive we can get this number up, but this one is low. So unfortunately it won't be as representative, the data, but.
What is the typical teacher student ratio for the training?
That I know will fluctuate.
Like how many students typically in the class?
Let's see if I can see if Brown, I think Brown's on the call, just because I haven't got into that metric just yet. I will definitely circle back to that one. Apologies, as I'm just started within the month and a lot of data to get going, but noted for sure. So the next.
Because that might be people's impressions if there is too many students and there isn't enough opportunity to get hands-on experience.
Coaching. Just a rough indication. So we've got about, I would say the pretty small class sizes. We're doing approximately 30 classes in a month and probably about 75 in attendance. So, if it's completely even, you'd say about 3 individuals per class.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for the clarification, Francis. Thank you. So yeah, with it's a smaller group for sure. So it's and we have captive Hands audience. On. We have a captive audience. So being able to train our trainers in the survey delivery and just the timing and methodology, that metric should improve. All right, the next one, still on the same survey results relating to the training and the workshops. Overall, 80% satisfaction overall. So is the training meeting the relevant needs? After the training, do you feel comfortable handling the assigned tasks? Of course, easy to progress through, participation and interaction encouraged, a mix of presentations and activities were suitable, and the training content met my expectations. It's definitely a positive metric in the sense that it's, the folks that are going through the training are having a positive feedback and experience. But again, overall, just needing to improve the distribution method so we can get closer to the 40% that's on the overall surveys. The next slide. So the next is the co-located partner feedback. You can scroll to the next one. A few different questions on this one. So the Workforce Solutions Center shares knowledge and information regularly amongst partners to provide seamless integrated services. Most folks strongly agree, or neutral. The next question, Workforce Solutions Operator effectively facilitates collaboration through regular monthly partnership meetings. Again, we have strongly agree, and a neutral. We do have a disagree here. And so overall, there's a 75% satisfaction amongst our co-located partners with 20 surveys distributed, 8 of our partners responding. So a solid response rate. But I think the definite point for improvement is our folks who, any of the folks who are disagreeing. And I think this, complements it connects with our hallmark of excellence metric, continuous improvement plans that Brandon presented earlier regarding the effect of partnerships. So the changes and the updates to ensure that there's better and more clear and organized collaboration amongst the partners via the operator, you know, definitely will help to mitigate any types of negative or experience that any of our partners can have. So is this one, you know, not facilitating collaboration through the monthly partnership meetings? As Brandon mentioned, there's definitely you know, verifiable steps that he does to outreach to the partners that they're having a meeting, has a, you know, an agenda or a PowerPoint, but still folks don't feel necessarily engaged. So part of the improvement plan to ensure that there is follow-up communication and in-between communication with the partners to make sure that they're at least, you know, all of their needs and resources as they relate to the center and the services and the process are addressed. Because with all of our all partners mandated, whether it be co-located or outside, you know, they're a crucial part of the center overall. So ensuring that they are aligned and they're making sure that they have everything they need and they feel integrated to the center is important. That being said, having anybody disagree on anything less than a neutral is, you know, something, a point of improvement area, just so it's known to the committee right now. So the next slide is the next set of questions on this very same partner survey. The Workforce Solutions Center operator provides necessary support, resources, equipment to promote an integrated service delivery system, service delivery system. And the next one, how satisfied are you with your partnership with the Workforce Solutions Center? So again, we're getting strong feedback from partners saying they strongly agree or very satisfied or at least satisfied. But with those folks, one or two that might have not the same positive experience or feeling as connected, this is where, again, the hallmark and the improvement plans will really come to play. And they're very tangible improvements to do. And a lot of legwork's already being done. So it's really about kind of adjusting the lens and making sure that we're doing those follow-ups and kind of in between monthly meeting communication with the partners to ensure that they have all the resources they need. And overall, they are happy with the partnerships and how the center services are flowing. Any questions on the partner surveys or even the participant surveys thus far?
Hi, Rick. This is Rob. Just a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the data based on those folks that are the agencies that disagreed? So you could go back to them directly and just ask specifically, what is it that could be improved? Do you have that info, or was it completely anonymous that you don't know who it was?
I am not. Francis, if you mind if I asked if this was an anonymous survey or not, because I was, you know, I'm not too sure on that point, and I want to get back to Rob. Later.
Yeah, it should be. It's sent out by us, Rob. It's not sent out by the provider. Yeah. So by the operator, I should say.
Yeah.
I think Rob's point is, do you know who the respondent
is?
Right. Yeah. Oh, like, do yeah. you know, like, who had, like, who gave what response? No, we just collected the raw data. We did not, not tied, yeah. like, a okay. provider to it. So, yeah, it's anonymous in that fact.
Okay.
It's okay. Because if it's you did, point, you could level set if their expectations were realistic or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know it's a good point. Thanks, Rob, and thank you, Francis, for clarifying. I think given the fact that they're, you know, it's there's only 9 co-located partners. You know, it's not too difficult to decipher folks that, you know, in the course of a meeting, whether it be a monthly meeting or a one-on-one with the operator, if someone's feeling like they're not connected to something or they don't have a grasp of something. So I think just having that, you know, more purposeful intention to the center services and the effective partnerships on it should capture that without having to go into the nitty gritty details as far as who replied on this survey. But to your point, yes, there's that it is anonymous, but I think I'm positive the operator with our support can definitely capture the disagreement and the negative, you know, the negative or the shortcoming rather of the partners.
Yeah, maybe at the next, you know, how they move forward on the different meetings, that could be a topic of discussion to, you know, on the agenda.
Absolutely.
And that way you can kind of address it with all the folks.
Yeah.
Because for me, even though people disagree, it could be just what are the areas for better or communication or improvement, you know, so that could be the metric that you will raise by the time you get to the next meeting.
Definitely. Thank you, Rob. Any other feedback, comments, questions? That was the last slide, by the way.
How often do you do the survey?
The goal is to ensure that there is, it has to be done annually. The operator does have flexibility on the frequency of the surveys administered. It's just the main metric is to ensure that we're hitting all the surveys throughout a given year. So we definitely have to have all the partners have to give at least one survey. Are co-located. So with the 9 partners, we're meeting the metric, but again, because we can have the surveys done in the first quarter, but obviously there's 3 more quarters to go. So despite what it comes about on the results, there's a need to still keep active engagement because, the first quarter can be great, but a change in approach new things can happen.
You don't want to start patting yourself on the back and thinking you're
exactly
doing great and find out like
not exactly. At all. So we're definitely aware of that in support of the operator. So despite them pretty much meeting the annual metric, we know that the need to keep ongoing positive relationships and synergistic ones with our center providers. So this is something that we'll continue to do each quarter. This particular survey metric is just, the one for per partner in the year. And so that, it leaves a lot of room for change. In real time, we'll be making sure that we're having these pretty much quarterly, but nothing was specifically set to give the operator the flexibility in distributing, but we're aware of the need to keep it going.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Have Elizabeth Hoy, who's going to go over our business solutions presentation.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's see. Desiree, if we could go to 102. Perfect. So I'll be presenting for our first quarter hiring initiatives. So between July and September, we served 147 businesses, and these are, it's just a graph of the services that we provided. So our highest ones are client needs analysis, where we meet with each employer who contacts us and find out what their pain points are, what we can do to help with recruiting, and then we tailor our conversation to what services and programs we can provide them. One of our biggest ones is job postings. So they just have a job opening or a recruitment flyer that they would like to get out, and we add that to our website. We share that with our all of our service providers and community partners, as well as put it on our job board at our Workforce Solutions Center. And then another big one is our hiring events, which I will get into in a few slides. So if we could go to the next slide, please. We did not have any job fairs in Q1. We did have one this last month in October that we will be sharing next month that was very successful, but none for this last quarter. So for hiring events, one of the big things that I want to highlight is we did launch our multi-industry hiring events this quarter. So instead of doing just individual events for each company, we did events for 5 to 10 employers at a time, which allowed job seekers to come in and do a little bit more career exploration. They've been very successful. Our job seekers have liked them, our employers have liked them, and our team has liked them. So we will be continuing those in the new year. Another thing that I want to highlight is our Caltrans event that we had on July 14th had 137 attendees, which is the largest hiring event we have had to date. So that one was very exciting. And we've had a great turnout. We've had 424 attendees total in the 9 hiring events we had this quarter. So if we could move to the next slide. This quarter for our work experience. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good question. I'm just noticing through all of the other graphs and stuff, Q1, the numbers seem to be a little bit lower. Is that just because it's summertime and more people are focused on getting out and vacations?
What do you mean that they're lower compared to the last quarters?
Well, I've only been here since September of last year, so I don't know what Q1 was of last year, but I've just noticed some of the other numbers on some of the other graphs earlier in this meeting were a little bit lower in Q1. I spoke about it earlier and Steve did as well, but we didn't hold a job fair in Q1. I was just wondering if the summer break has anything to do with that.
So we host job fairs based on community needs and if we are asked to put one on by one of the district supervisors. So we just did not get asked to put one on this quarter. That's why we didn't host one.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next slide, Desiree. Thank you so much. So for our work experiences, this quarter, we began the transition of moving the responsibility of creating work experiences from our Ready Set OC program to the Business Solutions team, which officially took effect in October, but in this last quarter, we were assisting with it. And most of our work experiences have been filled. We are recruiting for 2 work experiences currently. One for that this quarter, which is a packing and shipping coordinator with a new a company that does marketing and merchandising for small businesses. And if we could move to the next slide. So for our on-the-job training pipeline, we had 1 current OJT for this quarter, which was completed in October, and that was for a software developer with Creating Coding Careers. And our next slide. And these are the OJTs that were active this quarter. So we had a service technician 1 and 2 with Clean Energy. We had a graphic designer position with that same Phantom Design company that we have that work experience with. And then we have a batch maker position with Ecos, who is an eco-friendly cleaning product company. And we are still actively searching for candidates for those opportunities. And then the next slide. We have been in discussion with Applied Medical to create an OJT for their maintenance department, and we are just waiting for them to get back to us with that paperwork so we can get that that launched. Next slide. And then we did not have any discussions with any companies who are looking to create apprenticeships this quarter. And then this is just to highlight some of the all of the events that we attended this quarter. And at these events, we do outreach with any business in attendance, and we also promote our services and programs to see if we can get additional companies interested. And that's the end of my presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Nice presentation.
All right, thank you so much.
And I can review this last part. So for the grants update, these are our current grants. So the micro business COVID relief grants, we did receive approval for, well, the state granted an extension. So we do have remaining funding for about 250 or so grants in this program, which we thought we were going to have to return that money, but the state extended this program through June of 2023. So it does look like we're going to be able to expend all these funding. So please feel free to advertise the program if you've got any avenues where you can. It's a great opportunity for those small businesses, whether it's like a, you know, individual sole proprietor type businesses, giving them some funding to help them out during these hard times. As far as the career dislocated worker grant, that was obviously ongoing. VEEP is ongoing. We're in the final 2 quarters of the 8-quarter grant program. The regional slingshot 4.0 is going through December of this year. And then the 5.0 is upcoming. And then the STEPS program that just recently launched, and that's through June of next year. Goodwill is our provider for that program. Pending grants, so it's the regional 5.0. We're waiting on confirmation that we received that grant to continue the regional work. The prison to employment plan, that's been championed by the Santa Ana Workforce Development Board, but we're going to be obviously working with them and assisting them, as well as Anaheim. Grants which were not awarded, the big one is the SURF grant. Unfortunately, we did not receive the SURF grant. And the Good Jobs Challenge grant, we also did not receive, which was kind of a follow-on from the SURF grant.
Did you say we did not receive?
We did not receive.
Did we know why? Did we get feedback?
Not specifically feedback as to why not. They only just announced the information, basically, that I think it was like last week. There were two applications for Orange County, and the other application was almost just selected.
Okay.
And then as far as ongoing monitoring compliance, I can, as far as like, we did just actually have the formula fund, EDD came down and conducted this week their review of last fiscal year's formula funds, the fiscal review. We had the closeout interview this morning. I'm happy to say there were no findings at this point. It is still pending review by management, but it looks like we have zero findings and everything's in good order there. And I believe that's all we have for you guys today.
All right, did the committee, any of the committee members have anything they wanted to discuss before we close out?
Hi, thank you, everybody, for all your work you put into this. I appreciate it.
Barbara, one of the items, Karma and I are kind of working on this. And I did, she did ask me to cover it at the committee meeting and then later at the next board meeting. I sat in a webinar a few months back with the National Association of Workforce Boards, and it had to do with the Google Plus Certificate Scholarship Program that they have. They have over 300,000 scholarships that can be awarded to local workforce development boards across the country. One of the ones, even though I sat in and they kind of gave you general information about five different certificate programs, one of them that I thought would be interesting for us to pursue was it was a digital marketing and e-commerce professional certificate program. They are looking to see that either adults or even youth that are have any at risk population that can possibly participate in these programs. They're looking for folks to do that. I immediately thought about the possibility of having the at-risk youth population in our region, that could possibly, complete a certificate program. It's self-paced. The cost of the actual certificate is just under $300. Once they complete the certificate, there's a huge list of employers that are willing to hire people perform that kind of work. The average salary for those people that are doing that kind of work is above $50,000 a year. And it just seemed like that's something that we could, take a look at as a venture, because especially for us, the biggest challenge here in our region, in particular with not only the adults, but the youth, the fact that they're looking at the high cost of living and not having a sustainable wage, for work. And then going back to our statistic of looking at how many people are we getting into IT industry sector jobs, that we could kind of hit more than one thing in trying to accomplish some of this. So
like it a lot, Rob. I think it's spot on. And I'm also wondering, could maybe people who are physically disabled, who have mobility challenges,
absolutely,
if they can work virtually on a computer, they could do these things.
Absolutely. So Karma and I, we met with the program manager from the National Association of Workforce Boards, NAB, to go over the criteria for the scholarships. So Karma has met with her team of staff, and we're looking at the potential of moving forward for our region. She's going through the application process with NAB to obtain some of these scholarships. for the for this particular board. And in addition to, she's also looking at the option of having adults and or dislocated workers that may meet WIOA requirements that could be done separately and can be paid for separately outside of the scholarships. So we're trying, she's gonna try to do two things at once to address the different populations. The five certificate programs, they have some that are more advanced, but this particular one, the one that I looked at, it has, there is no educational requirement other than that they need to have an eighth grade reading level. Some of their advanced certificates go up to, they require people to be at a 10th grade reading level. Like I said, there's some really good, there's just a lot of potential for success. So Karma is seeking to, you know, try to put all the pieces in place and potentially do a launch by the beginning of the year in 2023. So we just had a meeting, I believe last week, to kind of go over with her staff, what her plans are, how we want to move forward. One of the things that I offered from the ABD side of the house is, in particular with at-risk youth, we have our own youth employment opportunity program, and we work with at-risk youth. My youth staff mentor at-risk youth. So we happen to have if we go forward, our YOP staff can also help identify potential candidates to, you know, complete the training. And if they happen to come from our program, they can continue to mentor them to get them to complete the program and, you know, to be successful with that. So our piece of it on the EED side would to help to do outreach and identify the potential candidates as well. So I just wanted to kind of give you like a brief update. There's a lot more bits and pieces to it, but I think the potential is there for us to do something successful.
And it really aligns with what we're trying to do. It's great, Rob, really great addition.
So hopefully, you know, by the time we get to our next larger meeting, you know, we can talk a little bit more in detail with Karma there as well.
Thank you for bringing this up.
I worked with at-risk youth at Orange High School, which is my alma mater. Mm-hmm. And for 3 years, I worked with students and I was able to get them graduated from high school. So I know Orange High School has a lot of at-risk youth that I think this program would be perfect for.
I think that's great. You know, so I know that we have lots of pockets throughout the region of, you know, folks that we could tap into. But yes, it would be great if not only we could help some adult and or dislocated worker folks, but in particular, some of our youth. And if they come from some of these special populations, even better. And then we're potentially getting them into IT industry sector jobs, which is one of our goals.
Exactly. Yep. And then they should not have trouble getting employment.
Yeah.
If they have developed IT skills.
Something tells me that would be very marketable.
Most of these youths, they're going to raise their families where they live now. Right. And that's our community. So if we can get them those jobs and get them, you know, into these programs, that'd be wonderful.
It's life-changing for people.
Yeah. So we cross our fingers and we hope that things go well. And, you know, like I said, Karma and her team will put all of the rest of the pieces into place. And then we can certainly talk about it more at our next larger meeting as well.
Thank you, Rob.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rob.
Do any other committee members have anything to share? Okay, with that, Francis, good meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we will close the meeting at, what time is it? 2:48.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.